All right, well, this is a little Christmas present for me and Michael. End of the year. Different bits and pieces from shows we've done. Where these aren't bloopers.
Oh, they're just outtakes.
Because we don't make bloopers. We're like this all the time. you got to love us or you don't, you know. So it's been an interesting year, to say the least, Michael.
2020, what can you say about it?
Man, oh, man.
Well.
I'd be glad to see 21 come in.
Sure thing, huh?
Tough year, losing John to this horrible pandemic. But we started doing this podcast right when the COVID was starting to hit.
Yeah.
And we got quite a few shows. You know, one-on-one with a few of these people.
Before the big lockdown happened, we were able to record, well, your cousin Wendy. We were able to record Jerry Phillips, Keith Sykes, Roger Cook, Sean Camp, Amy Curlin, you know. And this bonus.
Jim Shea,
yeah. And you know, your sister-in-law, Fiona.
Yeah.
But in this bonus episode here, we've got outtakes from the first four podcasts we did, which is about Paradise with your cousin Wendy, and then Jerry Phillips.
Roger Cook,
and Keith Sykes.
Bussy Mosley came up to my grandfather, Granddaddy Ham, with a bucket full of molasses. Oh, sorghum molasses.
I've heard this.
And wanted to trade him that for my mother.
Yeah, she was so pretty.
Because he was kind of slow, and the Mosley boys weren't the brightest bulbs in the chandelier, but he thought that was a fair trade, you know.
And, fair trade.
Yeah. He one time, my mother said they were in church, and he had an old mule, and the preacher was giving a sermon, and this mule kept making noise, you know, and Bussy would go, whoa, mule. God damn it, I said whoa, mule.
That's the way they were.
And that woke up the congregation real quick, I'm sure.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
Bobby remembers, they came to church where Bobby grew up and went to church. And every day, every Sunday, the minister would say, anybody got a special song? And they'd holler, 149, just over in Glory Land. And he said they sang that every time those boys was there.
My mother said when Roosevelt ran in 32, they asked Bussy who he was going to vote for, and Roosevelt's slogan was Roosevelt and Red Liquor, because he was going to repeal Prohibition. Bussy said, I'm voting for President and Vice President, Roosevelt and Red Liquor.
Nicknames was Buster and Boob.
Boob and
Bussy. Did you hear
Bussy.
Bobby tell that about that guy was whipping that his dad was whipping that horse because it wasn't doing like it's supposed to do it?
Yeah.
And they took a whip to him.
Yeah, and Bobby told me so. They were sawing a log once, Bussy and Boob, with a big log, with saw, a big wood, and they kept sawing. The saw went into the ground. They just kept sawing away.
Dirt
was flying everywhere. They had some characters. My mother could tell some stories about some of the local characters in Paradise.
Yeah, Joyce Ham.
And everybody cops something from somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just a little something. And then I read this interview with Keith Richards once. He goes, everybody evolves from somebody else. Says, you know, true originality is just a ongoing, you know,
we've all
a little
stepped
bit of this,
on
a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Beethoven and Bach, we stepped all over their stuff, you know, I mean, for years. What I don't like so much is there used to be real individuals vocally years ago.
Yes.
Your George Jones and your Jack, your Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and people, they were real individuals. I tend to listen to radio now and I don't know who's singing some of the hits out there.
I know.
I don't recognize that. I mean, yeah. Garth had a pretty recognizable voice.
Exactly. Yeah, Alan Jackson
Garth Brooks.
Did.
Alan Jackson did. But it's kind of, it's tough out there now to actually pick out individual. They've all learned the same country phrases and they all use them.
A lot of them are
and
trying
they can
to
sing.
Sound,
great singers, you know.
A lot of them are trying to use Merle Haggard's phrasing a lot.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But if you're going to, you know, try to do something like that, at least do it from the best. I mean, you know, a lot of them try to do the George Jones thing, right? Who was like an opera singer when you think about it. What a
voice. The control he had over his voice was awesome. But I really mean it. Good luck to those guys because it's a tough business.
It is.
And if you're getting any kind of success, good luck to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel. And I wish I could write some of that stuff, but I've sat down and tried to write it. And that good old boy truck, grandma, tree in the yard and all that, I can't write
it. It's not there, yeah.
It's not natural to me.
Like I was in the Army during the Vietnam War. I didn't have to go.
Okay.
I didn't have to go. I was in reserves. And I don't know why, because I was a combat medic. I was trained as a combat medic. But, and I still don't know why that the unit right next to mine was the 330th General Hospital unit in Memphis. And they got activated to go to Vietnam. And our field hospital unit, which was combat medic, go out with the soldiers, didn't get activated. So I don't know whether it was God looking out for me or somebody was looking out for me, because I'm fully convinced that I don't think I would have made it back alive if I had to that. You know, and John was in the same.
John, yeah,
he went to we went to basic not together, but the same place, Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Fort Polk, Louisiana. Yeah. He got drafted in '66.
Yeah, well, I went in '68.
Okay, so you're a couple years later, but all his buddies, I remember the day there was like five of them. Him and his high school friends, they all went down to the induction center together. My dad drove them down there. And this one guy that was with, he was like part of my brother's old gang, this crazy guy named Ricky Rebel. Well, when they got him in the induction room, they said, "This is your number two pencil. Whatever you do, do not lose this pencil. This is the only number one pencil you would be issued today." And 2 minutes later, Ricky Rebel put his hand up and said, "Could I get another pencil?" And the guy said, the sergeant, whoever it was, said, "You're in the Marines. Go down the hall." So Ricky got drafted into Marines, and all those guys went to Nam except for John. He went to Germany.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think
Germany. He really lucked out.
Somebody was looking out for us. I mean, I really believe that, because there was no reason why, as a combat medic, you know, that during that period of time that
you weren't in Vietnam.
I weren't. I mean, I still don't quite understand that, but I was ready to go. I thought, you know, I was young and all that, but boy, you know, and I did have to work in the hospitals stateside a lot. And those guys were screwed up, man. You know, very screwed up. I mean, in the brain and the legs and the no legs and no arms and all kinds of stuff.
It was bad.
But that's one thing John and I got in common was, you know, we both took basic at the same facility.
And now, were you drafted?
No, I joined.
You joined?
I was failing out. I went to 1 year of college. And I was failing as I did at everything else in school. I hated it, you know. And I was dating a girl whose mother was on the draft board.
Okay.
So they called. And I had already signed up on a waiting list to get into reserves. And she called and said, "Man, you're on the, I think the next 2 months, 2 months from now, your number's up. You know, your draft number's coming up."
Right.
So another looking out after me situation, I got a call from the reserves. They said, "Are you still interested in getting in the reserves?" And I said, "Yeah, I am, you know, I am." So instead of going, you know, being drafted, I joined the reserves. And
so you didn't have to go overseas then?
Nope, I didn't. Just went to Fort Polk and Fort Sam Houston, Texas. Then I had to do summer camps at Fort Bragg, and that's where all those guys were coming back. It's where all the Green Berets and the Rangers and all that stuff were coming back wounded and all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember John said they were on bivouac and an armadillo crawled into his pup tent.
Yeah.
That's the first time he ever saw one. The song, is it Big Time?
Big Time, yeah.
Now,
B-I-G-T-I-M-E.
Yeah, John suggested that I learn that.
Oh, wow.
And you did that on Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy week because we went up there, and on a Thursday, they did camera blocking.
Okay.
And after that, we had a thing to do with remember the King Biscuit Flower Hour radio show?
Oh, yeah.
I was doing that, too, and Robert Klein was hosting.
Okay.
And I walked in, and he says, "Hey, Keith, man, it's been a long time since Austin." I couldn't believe this guy would remember me. But I opened a show his time or two in Austin when I was living down there in 73. And he was great. He had a bit called "I Can't Stop My Leg." It's like a blues song. Mm-hmm. But he started doing his leg, and the whole deal was, "I can't stop my leg." It was real funny, you know. But he was really hilarious, and I always I know what it was. He did two or three nights there, and I opened that show the whole time he was there, and we got to know each other a little bit.
Austin.
You know, yeah. I just had no idea he'd remember me. And he maybe didn't. Maybe he had his assistants say, he opened some shows for you in Austin one time. Go do that. And I said, but anyway, it was a great, great thing. We recorded that, and Rodney Dangerfield was there doing it, same show, and the guy in Thin Lizzy, Phil LaNutt.
Oh, okay, the lead singer, bass player, yeah.
Yeah, he was there, and a neat thing. And so that was Thursday, and then we had Friday, and then Saturday night, you do that show twice. You do it once for an audience, and it's a complete run-through the whole show. And the guys who write it are amazing. They're writing the whole week long. They're writing through that whole run-through. They'll change stuff, and how they get it to them, and with the fresh words and whatever they're doing is mind-blowing to me. And then they do it live on TV in front of everybody, and it's really cool. And so that was a really great experience for me.
It must have been, yeah. I know a lot of those people I used to see at Second City in Chicago. That's where they started.
Yeah, man.
That's how John got on the show, pretty much, was through John Belushi.
Really?
Yeah. And Belushi used to go over to Earl of Old Town across the street from Second City in Chicago and see John.
Yeah.
And then John would go over to Second City and see, you know, John Belushi, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That's how him and Bill Murray became friends. We got some great stuff coming up.
2021 is going to be quite the year here on Prime Time Podcast.
It sure is. We're going to bust through the glass ceiling and knock down all the doors and have a wang dang doodle.
Hey there, Billy and I would like to ask you all to subscribe to our podcast and to share it with your friends. Down the road, we'll be offering some unique content and stories just for our subscribers. So please subscribe today. Stay cool, and we'll catch you down the road on the next edition of Prime Time.